Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and sitting across the board from me is my good friend and co-host... Oh, no, I lied. He's not here. I'm flying solo tonight, folks. So we're going to just take a few seconds here at the beginning of the show. I'm going to keep you up to speed. All of you that tune into the show know my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. He is actually in the hospital right now, but telling you what a trooper this guy is. He is still running the show from the hospital bed with his computer and firing off everything. And it's everything you're going to hear will hopefully sound just like it normally does. It's just Tim's going to be running it from there. So this is the first time we've done in the show in 2 years where I won't have Tim sitting across me. So bear with me if I fumble. I'm used to having a little bit of direction in the studio here. But we've got a great show for you. And again, for those of you listening, those of you that are healers or into prayer and can help out with that, we want to ask for a little bit of help for Tim. He is currently in the hospital. Tim is a diabetic and has developed different issues because of the diabetes. And one is, of course, the fact that some of the extremities start to, his appendages start to get numb, and he wasn't able to feel his feet. He developed a bad blister that infected, and he is, Friday went into the hospital with a bad infection. He'll be in the hospital till Tuesday. We do have information up on the blog at my MySpace page, so if you'd like, you can log in there and wish some good thoughts to Tim. Send your healing energies and thoughts and love to him. He certainly appreciates it. He's really enjoyed all the emails that he's been getting and text messages, phone calls. A lot of the listeners have been sending him flowers and cards up to the hospital suite, so he's really been appreciative of that. So for Tim, just let me say, since he doesn't have a voice here with us this evening, thank you very much for showing your love and support and for being a part of Darkness on the Edge of Town. And it's times like this that pull you together and really kind of show what kind of listeners you have. And you guys are more than listeners. You become friends to us, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate the support and love that you show both of us throughout the year. Getting on with tonight's show, we've got a great show. We've got a two-hour show going with our set of guests, which you know is a little different. We usually like to have the show go where we have, one guest per hour. Don't worry, Tim, I'm just turning up my headphones a little bit, so dead silence is going to happen from time to time. Our guests, I had the opportunity to meet last weekend at the Queen Mary for Ghost Fest, and I got to tell you, we, in the radio show, have had an opportunity to meet a lot of people that claim to have mediumship abilities, where they claim that they can speak to the dead and communicate with the dead. And our guests are Michael and Marty Perry. Now, they've been on different TV shows, including, I believe, Sci-Fi Investigates. The hook with these two that was so intriguing and interesting to me was the fact that Michael does the reading or the session very much like John Edward, where he helps you connect with people that have crossed over to the other side, that step forward and want to be heard. His wife, Marty, will she does what's called spirit art. She'll actually draw pictures of people that are in the room, the spirits that are there with her that she sees. So, of course, being somewhat skeptical myself, I was a little concerned and wanted to see if it would actually work. So I was, excited to get to meet these guys in person. We've included them in on the Queen Mary event that we have going on in December, on December 2nd through the 5th. Michael was going to give a talk along with Marty about spirituality, the afterlife, and what to expect. So it's an opportunity last weekend approached so that I could do a webisode with Bill Murphy, the filmmaker, and got to do a sit-down interview for about an hour with Michael and Marty. And we're going to have those up on our website and at Planet Paranormal here probably in the next 30 days, so you get a chance to see it. We did a great little interview, had a lot of fun with it. And for the second hour, they agreed to do a live reading, or session as they prefer to call it. And it was an opportunity for me to see if there was a spirit there that wanted to communicate. As we know and have mentioned on the show in the past with mediums, spirits are definitely opportunity seekers. And they said prior to the the session here that if somebody else in the audience here, we had about 15 people, 20 people around the filming, recognized any of the point that was being spoken about, to speak up. So as they began doing the session, they weren't linking in for a family member of mine, but one of the ladies in our little peanut gallery audience recognized what he was talking about, so we had her come up, and they did an amazing session. Now, the strange things of coincidence, I had just spent the afternoon speaking to this woman about her family and life and knew quite a bit about her, and so I was actually able to validate what was now being said, because I knew the stories from what was just explained to me this afternoon or that afternoon. Michael began doing a reading that lasted pretty much the entire hour with her and hit on just amazing facts. And it was, folks, I know about cold reading and I'm skeptical of nature. You know, I was looking for him to be looking for stuff. And actually what's really intriguing to me is he sits pretty much looking forward, like he's talking to the spirit directly in front of him. So he's not reading your body and facial features as much as he is speaking to whoever is reportedly standing right in front of him. So he was doing this talk, and this girl had both her father and her sister who have passed come through. And some of the stuff, I mean, just to, as an example, something that really blew my mind was Michael was sitting there, and the girl that he was speaking with, she had blue jeans on. They were torn up in the knee and stuff. They look like old jeans to me. Michael turned to her and he said, "Your sister said these are brand new jeans. You just bought these." And the girl started to nod slowly. And he said, "She was with you." And then he pointed to the hole in her knees and he said, "And she said, fix that hole." And they started laughing because I guess the joke was that her sister hated the holy pants and used to yell at her all the time to fix the holes. So it was, that was crazy. First of all, I don't know how anybody could have guessed that those pants were brand new, because they looked like they were 20 years old and beat up. And maybe I'm just so out of the loop and out of touch now with fashion and fashion statements that I really don't know what I'm looking at. But I had no clue about it. Like I said, it was totally intriguing to me that they were able to pick up and get that type of stuff going on. Then we had a very special guest show up during the reading, and we're going to cover that in a little bit when we talk to Michael and Marty. So without further ado, let me bring them in and on the line with us this evening, Michael and Marty Perry. Good evening, and thank you for joining us here in the darkness on the edge of town.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, Marty?
Okay. Michael's too scared after that intro. He went to get his teddy bear.
I'm back, Dave. I love my teddy.
Hey, Michael.
I'm very honored to be on the show with you, and I'm sorry about your friend Tim being in hospital. I'm sure he can hear us.
Yes, he can. He's listening in right now live, so try to be nice to him, because he'll use mojo on you, and you don't want that.
That's right. Yeah, we don't want to get edited.
That's right. So, like I said, guys, you blew me away. I've seen a lot of mediums that I thought were really interesting, and ones that I won't call out by name, but I think we're doing more cold readings. But, you know, my theory has always been, if people are looking for help and they need to hear it from Dead Uncle Joe, and it doesn't include, you know, "Hey, Dead Uncle Joe said that you've got a curse attached to you, and for $300 I can burn a candle and get rid of that curse for you." You know, if it's, "Hey, Dead Uncle Joe said, you know, take time for yourself, love yourself, stop being so hard on yourself and have a good life," and the person feels happy and filled with love after that, I've never really seen a problem with that part of the mediumship, which I know there's a lot of people that take a lot of anger and aggression out on people that even do that version of it. And there are a lot of people out there giving you guys a bad name, unfortunately, that, you know, do cold readings or are just so horribly off base. But then to come in and see the two of you work together is so amazing. Now, let's start off. Let's go back in history, talk a little bit about you. Michael, you've got a very distinct accent. I believe you're from Wisconsin. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Texas, actually.
Texas. Yeah. Now, Michael, you're from England, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And at what age did you realize that you had the ability to speak with spirits?
I would say probably when I was about 21, for sure, about around there.
All right. Now, this is something that's always intrigued me. You know, we hear from time to time, you know, I had rheumatic fever as a child, or, you know, I had the chicken pox really bad. I was in a horrible car wreck. I was struck by lightning. And, you know, when I woke up, bam, I had these abilities. Was there a turn-on switch for you that started up what you're experiencing now?
Well, let's say I think it was more of a just turning the amps up a bit, you know. I would say the thing that really did it was the meeting with my grandmother, who I didn't realize had died when I had an out-of-the-body experience right in the middle of a past life regression that Marty and I were doing. And when I got home, my mother called and told me that my grandmother had died, and I had just met her. And that was what kind of finally did it, you know. That was one of the things. And
we have to have evidence too, you know. It's like,
yeah, I need proof as well, you know. I can't walk around like kind of whacked out thinking I'm communicating with archangels and all that. That's not how I am. It has to be real for me and for the person that sits with me. So I'd been hearing all these voices talking to me. And I just thought I was just making it up.
So, did you feel that maybe you were a little crazy? Is that?
No, I didn't think I was crazy. I just thought I was on a big ego trip.
We know he's crazy.
Okay.
Marty knows I'm crazy. No, I mean, when we did the past life regression stuff.
Now, you said you thought maybe it was just an ego trip. What does that mean? You just thought that just had these amazing insights on people?
Well, the thing was, the first person that started to speak to me was Dvorak, the composer. And, you know, my first reaction was, in my mind, oh, this is ridiculous. You know,
how can I
prove that? I can't even prove that to myself. Maybe I'm just making all this up. And so as the lady that was doing the past life regression kept prompting me to say things and say what was going on and what am I seeing and all this kind of stuff, I just started to just make things up, I thought. Just to shut her up, basically.
Okay.
I was enjoying the nice space I was in, and I really couldn't at that point care less about the past lives. I went to a place where I used to go when I meditated, and it was very nice, and I didn't want to talk. And she kept asking me things, and I was like, she wants to know this now. So I just started what I thought was making things up. But after the thing with my grandmother and a few other things, I realized that this stuff was really happening, like, way louder than it had ever happened before. And so I just started to pay attention. And, you know, I mean, they said one thing, like, one of the things I wrote down when I transcribed the tapes later, like 2 years later, I transcribed the tapes of the sessions. And one of the things they said was, the work will begin 1 year from today. And in my head at the time, I thought, I said to her, I even joked, I said, the work will begin 1 year. Hey, you know, like, I just took it like a joke. I this is ridiculous. You know, I'm just on a big old ego trip here. But after transcribing it, it was exactly 1 year to the day that we had signed up for this with these ministers, and we started doing psychic development classes with them. And those development classes were just kind of in the package, so they weren't something we sought out to do. They were just something they did, and we just turned up every week and had fun with them. And, you know, then I realized, wow, that was exactly to the day, 1 year. So that was correct. And then I looked at other things, and they were correct, too, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, so it just kind of went from there. I started to pay more attention to it all. Up till that point, it really wasn't something that I was really interested in.
Yeah, I think we both had, like, all through our lives, we've had intuition and other psychic abilities that we just used in our everyday life, just thinking it was normal. I know I did.
Well, no, so there was no real switch on or off, though, Michael. It wasn't the lightning bolt or anything like that. It was
no perceptible switch. I did have a reading with a medium when I was on my 21st birthday, and he was a friend of mine, and he went into a trance, actually, and he didn't remember everything he'd said to me. So he remembered what he saw, but he didn't remember what he said. And one of the things he said to me was, oh, in the future, you're going to be very, very psychic, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And I just shrugged my shoulders and thought, oh, well, if it happens, it happens, you know. But I was already psychic. I mean, I used to see, you know, beings and people, but I would never go up to someone and say, oh, there's this person here, you know, and they're saying this or that. I would never do that. It just wasn't something that I would do.
Let me follow that question up real quick, and then I want to cross over to Marty. You said that you would see beings and things. So when you were out just walking around, you just see dead people? I mean, was it kind of...
No, not. You know, this is like just now and then, periodically, when something of a spiritual nature was going on. Say we were...
Like giving healing.
So I was giving healing.
Okay.
You know, if I was healing, because I've always done healing. I used to do laying on of hands. I learned to do it when I was 20. And I would do it every week on people, you know, a dozen people a week. And, you know, people would, like a lady would say to me, oh, my eye is, you know, can you work on my eye? And I'd be working on her eye, and someone would whisper in my head, it's not her eye, it's the back of her head down here. So I'd talk to the lady and I'd say, you know, could it be that there's something wrong at the, like a blockage, like a blood vessel that's kind of not working too good at the back of the head? She said, that's exactly what it is. My doctors have just told me that. And so people would tell me things, you know, in healing and things like that. But
so does that make you sort of a medical intuitive as well?
Well, no, I just regarded it as information from people over there.
Okay.
But I never set out to be a medium until I posed the question when I was in America with Marty
to the guides.
Mm-hmm. I've always known I've had guides and people, and I know who they are, but I thought I was going to do healing. I thought I was going to be a healer, and I would set up a place, and before I actually came out to America, I was working with a woman who had transcribed all the Tibetan medical texts. She lived in Tibet for 7 years on her own with the monks and transcribed all the Tibetan medical texts. And the head medical lama in Tibet was about to come over to England and go up to Scotland to open a medical center. And he needed like a stayover, but it had to be a very special place. So we were making this place for him to stay over for a few days so that he could go up to Scotland. And at that point, that was when I ended up coming out to America. So that's my kind of, you know, some of my background. I was involved in healing, and I said to the people on the other side, do you want me to do healing? And they said, no, we want you to do this. And I said, wow. I said,
they didn't want you to do both?
Well, it might come later in a different way, but
were you doing like a form of Reiki then?
I still do healing, and but perhaps it will progress to yet another level. You know, perhaps it'll change yet again. I don't know. All I know is that they told me do this, and I was clueless how to do it. I didn't know how to meet people. I didn't know how to get started. I had to kind of just start from ground zero, so to speak, and just figure it all out. Like, how do I do this? I don't even know where to do it.
No, you said that you always knew you had guides. So when you're saying you always knew, did that again start in the 20s, or did that start as a child?
Oh, that started early on in my 20s.
Okay. So you were able to tell that you had guides. Now, what type of guides are you talking about? I mean, are they angels? Are they spirits? Are they alien? Is it Elvis? No. What's going on?
They're beings that have been on Earth who, you know, a couple of them are pretty elevated. I've always known I've had an Indian guide.
Okay.
I've always known he's been around, and I also have another one who is, I think, maybe somewhat more elevated. He's
now, when you're saying elevated, is that
in consciousness?
Okay,
in consciousness. You know, there are degrees of consciousness and degrees of spiritual awareness, and you know, I don't see people with wings on. I think that, you know, my teacher never saw people with wings on. You know, maybe people appear like that to people for a reason, because okay. that's what they believe, but that's not what I see, and that's I never have seen one, and neither has my teacher.
Well, why don't we do this? We're going to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, Marty, we'll start off with you, then talking a little bit about your background and catch up to speed with you. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with our guests, Michael and Marty Perry, right after this.
Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank you. Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away and go. Go away and go.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time. I appreciate you tuning in. For those of you that are normal listeners of the show, you'll realize that our good friend Mr. Tim Dennis isn't with us this evening. He is in the hospital. We wish him well and a speedy recovery. I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this evening and for the great support that you've shown Tim online and by sending him flowers and cards up at the hospital. It has definitely helped raise his spirits. Couple other quick little announcements. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have an event coming up at the Queen Mary. We are sold out on that event. However, we do have two events available right now. We just put up the brand new Return to Eastern State Penitentiary trip. We are going to be going back to Eastern State Penitentiary with our special guests, Jason and Grant from TV's Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, and Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. We'll also be joined by demonologists John Zaffis and Adam Bly, and researcher and author Linda Zimmerman. Tim and I will also be there, of course, and we'll be leading a couple of discussions and ghost hunts, so we hope that you'll join us. For all information regarding all of our upcoming events, please check out our website at darknessevents.com. We are half sold out on the Rolling Hills adventure. We're excited about that. We hope that you'll come out and join us. That's going to be a great one. It's the only event we're doing where all of the ghost hunters that will be there on that trip are from the TV show Ghost Hunters. We have Jason and Grant, Steve, Dave Tango will be appearing at his first Darkness event, and Heather Drellett will also be there with us, and she is also a member of TAP. She's a Wiccan and is going to be doing a talk on Wiccan perspective of paranormal investigation. We also have psychic mediums Karen Reese and Chip Coffee that will be there. I'm sorry, I'm across the board. I got to do this off the top of my memory. Without Tim here, I can't surf the net and read all the stuff off my website. So bear with me. Again, Chip Coffee and Karen Reese will be there. They are celebrity mediums. You'll be able to meet them and talk with them as well. We've got Stacey Jones, the ghost cop, will be out there. She's a paranormal investigator and historian. Just a great little lineup. We hope that you'll join us. It's going to be a nice small group. Only 150 people will be in attendance for that event. And we hope that you'll... Tim is... the master of everything. Right now he's logging me onto the computer from his hospital bed. I'm literally doing nothing here but sitting in front of the mic like I normally do. He's firing everything off. I just got to remember to hit the right button. So thank you, Tim, for doing work even when you're laid up in the hospital. I appreciate it. So again, join us for all of our events at darknessevents.com. I hope that we'll see you out there. And there are still a few tickets left for the Virginia City, Nevada ghost hunt that's going to be taking place next weekend. It's with the guys from the TV show Ghost Adventures. It's going to be amazing. So you want to come on out there. They have Janice Oberding. They also have joining them EVP specialists Mark and Debbie Constantino. I would highly recommend coming out to the event. Just look at our website. Click the banner. It'll take you directly to their MySpace page. You can email them if you're interested in attending. They'll shoot you over the prices, tell you how to get involved. It is going to be a great opportunity. I'll be out there emceeing and leading one of the ghost hunts. And I look forward to meeting many of you and seeing you there and at our events. We're going to get back into the show this evening, where our very special guests are Michael and Marty Perry. And they are mediums and working out of the California area. They're also members of the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society. And were brought to my attention again by a good friend and listener of the show, Sid Schultz and his wife. And thank you, Trish. We also appreciate you guys staying on me. Like I said, guys, when I'm approached by mediums, I'm skeptical because we have so many. I could literally do a show a week with all the different mediums that pop up in my life and want to do the show. And I'm very careful about who I bring on because I want to see that they have something different to bring to the table. And certainly Michael's, Paul McCartney type accent and charming good looks, you know, people are going to be interested in hearing that voice. And then there's a whole other dynamic of this dynamic duo, if you will, and it is your lovely wife, Marty, and she's joining us. And Marty, you do something that's just amazing to me. And for everybody that's listening to the show right now, and I'm going to keep it up on the website, go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the show tab. And when you click on that show tab, you're going to see this evening's guests. And there is a picture Marty drew during the reading last week or session that Michael was doing. There is a picture she drew of a gentleman that was there, I guess, in the room with us. Now, what's really interesting is I'm always trying to find one of these mediums that can put a connection for me with my grandfather. And I give very, very little information about my grandfather because I don't want somebody to be able to hear it online or look it up or read anything about it. So that they don't, you know, front load with this. And at the end of the session with Michael, Marty had three pictures drawn. One was a gentleman by the name of John, I believe, and he turned out to be one of the audience members' great uncles who had passed away. Then there was another older lady who was believed, I believe, like to be a great grandmother, and that was of Bill Murphy's significant other, Jeanette. And that was a great connection. And then she revealed the third and final picture, which just knocked me off my socks. It was a sketch of my grandfather, and it looks very much like my grandfather did just prior to his passing, almost 20 years ago. So it was amazing to me. I was able to find a picture of my grandfather. Unfortunately, the only picture I had of him that was really nice, and wasn't kind of a faraway shot, was taken 20 years prior to his death. But if you look, we've put them as a side-by-side comparison on our website, and it's an amazing picture. You captured it so well, Marty. I took a photograph of the image that you did while we were on the Queen Mary, and I texted it over to my mother and my aunt. They both got choked up about it and were totally blown away by the likeness of my grandfather, especially in the latter part of his life, to that image. There was no denying it. And the other thing that I thought was really intriguing is, you know, as a skeptic, Marty, my first thought was, you're gonna look at some of the people in the room and draw an older version of these people. And bam, there's Grandpa and Grandma, because it's a pretty safe bet some of us look like our grandparents and you can get away with it. My grandfather and I don't have any similarity. I look very, very much like a mixture of my mom and my dad's side of the family, but not my grandfather on my mom's side, or anybody else on that side of the family. So it was an amazing sketch that you do. So again, people, you can go take a picture or go take a look at the pictures there. Click on it. It'll take you directly to their website, which you can also check out, which is spiritart.com. That's spiritart.com. Marty, when did you realize that you had the ability to not only see these spirits, but that you could also start to sketch them?
Actually, it was Michael's idea. Because when we were taking these development classes, I had an ability, but I'm not too good at talking, and I don't I couldn't hear that well. I can always see, but I can't hear that well. So he knew of a lady that used to do the spirit art years ago in England, and he got information from his guides that this is what I should be doing. Of course, I laughed at him and said, yeah, right, I can't do that. So one day while he was away, I sat down and drew a sketch of an older man. It took me quite a while the first time I did it. I think it took me at least an hour. Didn't know who it was. When Michael came home, I showed it to him. He didn't know who it was, so I just sort of laid it on the table. That night we had a meditation group, and a few people came over, and this one girl picked up the picture and said, oh, my God, that's my boss that died, was murdered a year ago to the day. And she brought over the picture the next day, and it was a very good match. And so I figured the very first time I tried it and it worked, it was recognized right away that, well, this is what I should be doing.
Right.
So,
well, that to me is uncanny, because, as I said, I sat there saying in my mind, when you linked in with that girl and you were doing your reading, Michael, I stepped aside. As a matter of fact, you kept apologizing. You're like, Dave, I'm so sorry. You know, I've got to keep delivering this message. And I actually walked out of frame of the camera and walked away so that you could just focus. I didn't want your guilt that you weren't doing the reading for me.
Oh, well.
And yeah. I kept thinking to myself, you know what? Okay, Grandpa, I don't want to infringe on this girl. She needs this.
Well, you see that.
And I said, someday we'll find a way for you to validate. And that's why it knocked my socks off. Because here I thought Marty would be drawing pictures of the people that you were talking about for the reading.
Well, yeah. You did the spiritual thing. You see, that was a spiritual thing to do. You decided that the other person needed it more. And then they must have known what you were thinking and how you were behaving. And that's why they did what they did.
Yeah, and that's what knocked my socks off, was that was the final picture that you revealed. Of that image, Marty, and that's crazy. Now, when did you, Marty, realize that you had the ability to see the dead?
Oh, I think mine was just gradual. I can't ever, know a time where I didn't see faces.
Well, tell him about the guy that you drew once.
Okay, when I was in my early 20s, this was sort of a silly thing that I did, but I just drew this face of this guy years ago, and I nicknamed him Christian. And I told my girlfriend, that we're going to find this guy, and, I'm going to date him. So we looked all over the place, and it's like, oh, because he had a beard. And we'd look at this guy, oh, could that be him? Nah, that's not Christian. And I was working as a waitress. And one day this new bartender came on board and looked exactly like the picture. And I did end up dating him. And we went out for maybe a couple of weeks, and then he just disappeared. And it was really strange because nobody knew where he went or anything. So I figured that was probably my first one that I ever did, but I just didn't pursue it any longer than that.
So now that what you were saying with that, though, is it was a sketch of somebody that you were to meet. It wasn't a sketch of somebody that had passed away.
Yeah, that would be the closest kind of inkling, I suppose, that she could do something like that,
Marty, when you started seeing the dead people, did you start to question your sanity? See, and I don't mean to be rude when I ask that question, but it always seems to me, I would just start to think, oh, God, what's wrong with me? I'm hearing voices, I'm seeing people nobody else can see,
I see them a little bit different than Michael sees them outside. I see them inside my head, so it's not quite as, I guess, spooky or scary or anything.
Okay, so they're not actually an image like a ghost standing in the room with us.
No,
for you.
That's not how I see them. I see them inside.
So they're appearing in your mind's eye, if you will.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and again, the picture, unfortunately, when I put it on my website, for some reason the black and white picture of my grandfather got all really weird and has this crazy pattern going on it, and you can't see the detail. And even the sketch is a little too small on here to really notice. But the thing that really kind of tipped my mom and my aunt off that was so intriguing is my grandfather had very distinctive ears. They had a point to them and a little bump, and you've got them exactly the same way my grandfather did. You know, the same hairline, the same eye structure, the same facial structure. It was just it was crazy to see something like that, and the way that you two, you know, brought that on. So that was, you know, I guess when you alluded to it earlier, Michael, saying that maybe you'd be doing healing of another kind, I can see that being more of a case, because being able to, you know, see that definitely gave me this sense of satisfaction, this sense of relief that he was there and was making contact. But now, Marty, do you ever think, you know, if we're focused, I mean, let's face it, we're focused in on who we want to communicate with. Very few people come to you with this innocuous kind of, yeah, I don't know, go ahead, you know, who do you want to talk about? You know, they have somebody in mind. Now, if I'm thinking my grandfather, and I'm focusing and I know him, how do you know that you're not just picking my mind and my mind's eye? Because I always remember my grandfather just as I remember him just before he passed away. So it's funny that that would be the image that you draw of him, is that last image I had of him. Do you ever think that maybe it's more of a psychic premonition that you're picking out of the brains of the clients that you work with?
I have thought about that, but I've done so many different things that I know it can't be that. I did one for this girl one time that Michael was bringing through her father, and she had never known her father. She didn't know his name, nothing about him.
Right,
that,
right,
you know,
okay.
It was like a born out of wedlock thing. No family member would tell her anything. So when I drew the picture, Michael said, oh, well, that looks like the man I was talking to. And we gave it to her. She said, well, I don't know. I can't prove it or anything, but, you know, thanks. And then a couple days later, she called us and said she had just received a package in the mail from her great aunt with one picture in it that looked exactly like the picture that I had drawn, and on the name that Michael had given, and it was her father. So that couldn't have been out of her mind, because she didn't even know it.
So you're saying she wasn't out of her mind at the time that you saw
that? Yeah, well, we are, but
oh, okay, that's
she wasn't.
Well, we're going to take our second break here. Time's going fast for us this evening, so stick with us. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And our guests are mediums Michael and Marty Perry. They're going to be back with us, and we're going to have some more questions for them, find out a little bit more about how they use their abilities to help people, and also being active members of a paranormal research group, how do they bring this ability to the table, and what can they do with that for a paranormal investigation? Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more and more of your questions right after this.
Seat. I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Are you ready for some adventure? Swashbuckling action? Pirates? High seas battles? How about a little history, romance, and haunting Celtic mysticism thrown into the mix? If so, you have got to read The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, the new book by author-illustrator Scotty Roberts, set in England, Ireland, and Scotland of the 16th century. Irish Lord Tam O'Hare sets out on a quest to find and rescue a little girl from the hands of the very folk of the Dark Shadowlands. On his way, he runs headlong into adventure and intrigue from all quarters in the form of wolves, foxes, and pirating rabbits. Oh, and did I mention Tam O'Hare is, well, a rabbit? This book will not be available in stores until late this fall. But you can get your advance copy of The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare now by going to www.tamohare.com. That's www.tamohare.com. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it. It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Timmy D, it's just not the same without you here going ee-hee-hee in my ear before we come back from break. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Without my co-host and partner, Tim Dennis, this evening, he's sitting in the hospital bed, still running the show from there. So thank you again for the hard work you're doing for us, Tim. Our show this evening is mediumship. We're talking to Michael and Marty Perry, and they are a couple of mediums out of California. And very talented, very skilled at what they do. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit more, both of you. You use what you have to do mediumship readings. You also are involved in a paranormal research group, correct?
Right.
Right.
Okay. How do you, and we'll get more into to your messages and stuff like that. I'm just curious, though, and I know we have a lot of paranormal investigators that listen. How do you use what you can do at a paranormal investigation? Do you go in there and communicate with the spirits to understand why they're there and what they need and how to help them?
If there's someone there at a place we're investigating, and they make their presence felt and they communicate anything, then you know, there's a few things to be determined. Are they someone that is stuck, that you know, is hanging around, or is it someone that is there because we're all there and wishes to communicate something that's of interest to us? You know, perhaps some facts or details that probably might not be known or something like that, you know, just to help people out. So, you know, there's a few different things you have to ascertain when you're doing what we're doing. We can do, you know, I can do psychic stuff. I can hold objects and get facts and details from objects and things like that. But that's not really something that I use my abilities for much. So if we're doing an investigation, like we were just at the Pasadena Playhouse with Sid and Tricia from the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society, and Marty drew a picture which is the likeness of the founder when he was old.
Now, we saw a painting of him when he was young, but it doesn't look anything like when he was old.
Yeah, well, hold on a second. I mean, when I first looked at the picture, I had no idea who it was. I just walked into the lounge, the lobby, and I saw this picture up on the wall, and I knew straight away that the guy was a homosexual. And I told this to the people there, and apparently it's true. He was a closet homosexual. But what Sid and Trish told us was they'd only found that out a few weeks ago, that he was that way. So this was new for them. And I felt that he was one of the people that was communicating with us that night, and sure enough he was, because Marty drew him as an older man.
We both didn't feel like he was stuck, though. He was just around there because that was his, you know, his baby, and he would come and visit. So it's not like he was a stuck...
I didn't feel like he was stuck. I felt like he was just kind of lovingly looking over the place and coming by and kind of hoping it would regain its former glory, so to speak. Yeah.
And that's more the norm than the stuck people, I think, that we've encountered at least. The ones that are stuck, yes, we would like to help them cross.
So, but don't tell anybody about that, otherwise they'll never invite us around.
Yeah. No, we do.
Your secret is safe with me and the three people that listen to the show.
Yeah, we'll take a nice bribe from the Queen Mary.
Do you feel a certain sense of obligation to help spirits cross over?
Well, yeah, naturally. I mean, if somebody's stuck, I mean, I think the whole thing's kind of funny. I mean, it's like a monkey in a cage. I mean, how would you like it if you were mistaken for Bigfoot and stuck in a cage, and everybody was coming around looking at you and saying, "I'm human, I'm human."
Dave Schrader, my name. And everybody's looking at you going, yeah, cool.
Do something.
Do something. Scare me.
That sounds kind of exciting. If you know a sideshow that's looking for that, I'm willing to sign up.
They pay in bananas.
I mean, you know, even some of the so-called demonic stuff and all that, you know. I mean, there is obviously some bad stuff out there. There is, you know, it's no question. But a lot of the things that happen are people who are angry, who are stuck, or, you know, very resentful, and they're just basically stuck in a loop. It's like being stuck in a groove on a record, you know.
Well, are they,
record
are they...
is for the younger people is one of those big plastic flat things that goes round and round. It probably
What is this word you speak of?
Yes.
A record, isn't that what's in that book by Guinness? I don't know what you're... Well, so with people that are stuck here, I mean, see, that's always something that amazed me. Now, it sounds almost like you're talking about a residual haunting when it's just something that's stuck in a loop. But is somebody that's stuck here actually stuck here, or can you actually release that residual ghost as well, or that residual spirit?
Well, there's both. There's residual energies, and we could call it dead astral forms that are still retaining a charge, like they still have an electric charge in them. But yeah, I know.
Hey, do I got to stop this show and pull it over and separate you two?
Well,
Dave, Michael keeps touching me.
Ahead of me, that's all. The
I always finish his sentences for him. He needs it.
Someone can be stuck. I mean, people on Earth get stuck in loops. You know, they constantly go through the same situation over and over. You know, this happens with people that are hooked on drugs or alcohol or whatever addiction it is, and there are many of them, you know. And they basically miss their life because they're stuck in a loop. Mm-hmm. They really don't live their lives. And if you look at it that way, when someone's died and they're not, like, having new experience or moving on to greater heights of freedom and expression, then where are they? You know, why are they hanging around this one particular haunt? Or why are they, you know, behaving the way they're behaving? Because they're stuck. They simply are stuck. That's all.
Now, when you try to help somebody over, what are you doing? Are you opening up the light? Are you telling them it's time to move on? How do you convince somebody that's stuck to cross over?
Quite honestly, I haven't done too much of that. I know a lot about it, but I haven't actually done too much of it. It's kind of strange, even though Marty has, yeah. I pulled her out of exorcism training school once when I met her. She actually helped an entity that was haunting her trailer once, and he moved on, I suppose.
Yeah, I actually lived with a couple of ghosts back in my 20s, and one of them wasn't so nice, and I got him to move on, and we lived, I'd say, for about a year with the other one, and he wasn't really stuck, so he was just there helping us, and I got so used to it. I'd come home and hear all this noise in my house, you know, and put the key in, complete silence. I'd walk in and say, "Hi, George. Good night, George," and go to bed. So I got sort of used to having ghosts around when I was younger. And there was just one recently that was sort of bothering us at home, and actually came in the middle of the night, slapped me on the rear end.
Oh, friendly ghost, okay.
I finally talked them into leaving. You just have to get them to open their eyes, and I always ask my guides to try and direct them of how to go, and it's a joint effort.
Well, so you're only passing on the ones that are getting a little frisky with you, Marty? Is that the deal?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it was actually me in a projected state.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe, you know.
And maybe I was astrally projecting. I saw this nice ass sticking out of bed. After, you know.
Well, a man's got to do what a man's got to do, Michael.
Got to do what a man's got to do, right.
Right.
Oh.
How do I know it wasn't a big woman?
I just...
Well, we're not here to judge.
talking about men's men and all that kind of stuff. Remember when John Wayne was mentioned on the...
Yeah, now that's something that was really interesting to me. As I talked to Michael and Marty prior to the show, during our little webisode that we were pre-recording, we talked about something interesting that he had people that were connected to John Wayne that had appeared during readings. And John Wayne made a guest appearance at these readings, which I got to tell you sounds really goofy to me that was happening. And, you know, I was trying to be polite and just nod and, okay, all right, you talked to John Wayne, good for you. And then as you were doing the reading last week, what was super intriguing to me is as you were doing the reading for this girl and mentioned that her father was in the military because all of a sudden he was showing up in, military uniform and was something to do with Vietnam, I thought that was interesting because she had just told me that her father was in a movie with John Wayne called The Green Beret. And so I brought that up to you, and then you asked if John Wayne was there. And John Wayne showed up at our session.
Right.
Now what was intriguing about that to me, what I thought was really kind of fun, was the fact that, you know, as you said, there is no such thing as a coincidence. You brought it up to me. She brought it up to me earlier that day. And here I've known her quite a while and never knew that she had any ties to Hollywood. And to be brought up that day and then to have you guys bring him forward. And the fact that he came forward not so much to show off, hey, I'm John Wayne and I'm here to talk to you. He came to validate her claims of him working with her father. And he was able to validate things, which I thought was amazing, like the badge. He held up a badge. And he goes, John Wayne is showing me a badge. Your father was a sheriff or in the police department. And she said, yes. And I didn't even know that fact. I thought, because she, or you said he was a sheriff or a marshal, which I thought was interesting because she had also told me he played a marshal in a movie that she thought was with John Wayne as well. So I didn't know if that was a tie-in. But then she said, no, he was actually a sheriff. And then after we got back home, she texted me a photograph of her holding the badge of her father's that looked like an old sheriff's badge, like a sheriff or a marshal. So that was really crazy.
Well, the only reason I'm bringing it up is because it was like I think it was like 11 o'clock or something, or nearly midnight. We were doing that, right?
Right.
Well, it was my birthday the next day, and Marty had arranged a birthday party without me knowing it.
Surprise birthday party, yeah. For a psychic.
Some psychic, huh? So, no, yeah,
I think
managed.
I'm offended I wasn't invited, Marty.
I was
Marty.
Impressed. So, but one of the people that was there was a friend, and what she got me for a birthday present was, guess what? A throw with John Wayne on it. Wow. And a birthday card with his face on it, a cowboy hat and everything. And inside she wrote, love from blah, blah, and the Duke.
Wow.
Yeah. I was absolutely blown away because I'd been talking about Marty with Marty after that. And I said to her, you know, I reckon this guy's really like helping us out. I think he's someone that just loves doing this, and I think he's trying to help us and get the word out there, you know, that kind of thing. And he must be not a guide, but, you know, someone who's just kind of on the team, so to speak, helping out, who likes to be involved. And that's what happened. And I thought, well, there's my answer.
Well, very few people know that he was into spiritualism. He used to go see a medium quite regularly.
Yeah, that's... You know, to know all that and to have read about that as well and to hear these stories and then have them come forward. I mean, you know, you understand from a skeptical point of view, that's just funny, you know, to think, yeah, John Wayne is coming forward to help you.
Yeah, it's part of it. It's not evidential, but when things, you know, yeah, come up in context, you know, you can't just to anybody throw out.
Yeah, I would John never, I would never, like, if I had no kind of proof to back it up, so to speak, you know, but the fact that he came through for his niece the very first time.
And we didn't know
and I didn't even know who she was, and she was in the audience. The very fact that that happened the very first time, that was proof enough for me that he had shown up, that he was there. And when it, you know, like when he showed up the other day and he said to the mother with the daughter at my house, and he showed up, and I said, well, you must know John Wayne, and she started laughing and said that her son's a big skeptic, and
he said, well, if he's any good, John Wayne will show up, because he wouldn't come that day with her.
And he did.
So, and he did. So, you know, when that kind of stuff goes on, I know that he's there, you see. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
Well, see, now that's where I would guess. Doing the readings, if you're getting these things that pop up into your head, sometimes it's got to be almost frightening to say it, because you got to know that people are setting you up for ridicule. And
well,
when you see something like that, or you're getting a reading, and all of a sudden, they want me to bring up the giant pink elephant dressed in a tutu smoking a joint. What does that mean?
The other day. Wow.
Right. Yeah, see, so, I mean, then that, I mean, to you, it's like that's probably the crazy stuff that you need to validate an actual session. But do you ever just feel, oh, my God, I'm really setting myself up to get kicked for this one. This is going to be out there.
Do I feel silly with the stuff that they show me? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one time I saw a tortoise flying around in front of me on the floor on a skateboard, just zooming around in front of me on a skateboard. I'm like, oh,
okay,
I can't believe this. This is just too bizarre. So I just said to this lady, I said, in front of me right now is a tortoise zipping around on the floor on a skateboard. Oh, my God, she says. I just lost a tortoise, and I move him around my house on a big skateboard.
Because he was too big to carry.
Because he was too big to carry, so I put them on a big skateboard, and that's how I move him around.
Okay, so now you're talking to pets. That's something interesting. We'll talk to you about that, because
yeah,
I know you've got some stories about that as well. So stick with us. Michael and Marty Perry will be back with you in a few seconds. And thank you all for tuning into the show. We're going to be back with more, so stick with us here on The Darkness on the Edutown Paranormal Radio Show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.